Well, today is Sunday, Father's Day, June the 20th, 2021. And if you would, take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 4 to begin this morning. And I know we've mentioned this a number of times over the past months, that when it comes to things that we are dealing with personally, there are, as you know, many verses where God directs us to pray. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at some things in God's Word talking about prayer. We looked at some things that are good to remember when we pray. And that teaching is up on the website if you haven't heard it. It's a good reminder of some things about God. But when I was sharing that, I said it's good to remember some of those things when we pray, and it gives us great confidence when we go to our Father for His help. You know, for us, every day is Father's Day. God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, is our Heavenly Father. Literally, we are His children. And so we give Him praise and thanks every day. And we seek our Father God when we need help. In Philippians 4, be careful, and you know that word means anxious, stressed out. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Very familiar verses about prayer. And there's something that I've been wanting to share, been brewing on it for, I don't know, a month and a half or 2 months. And this morning I want to share some things, and I thought this would be a good place to start. It says there, be anxious for nothing, but then in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, supplications, let your requests be made known unto God. So you have a nothing and an everything there. So in addition to things that might personally stress us out, then we hear about things going on in the world around us and in our country that we love. Things in our personal lives at times can be overwhelming and stressful. And then when you add to that some things that you hear going on, and really so many of the things that we hear going on in our country are very, very divisive, aren't they? And that division, divisiveness, that stuff is certainly not coming from our wonderful Heavenly Father, right? And so it's good to remember that whether it's personal stuff we're dealing with or stuff in the world, you know, we pray, we just read that, but it's also good to remember when we're going through that stuff that we're not alone. We're not on an island. We are, each one of us, part of the one body. And, you know, we can certainly ask someone to pray for us, pray with us, right? Why shouldn't we, right? We're brothers and sisters. And we ought to help and encourage one another as brothers and sisters. You know, we get together here on Sunday, and it's great getting together here on Sundays, and it's actually needful for us to get together. And when we do get together here, the focal point is the Word of God, right? We get into the Scriptures. And of course, then we sing together, we pray together, we have manifestations, and then after the meeting, we hang out with each other for a little while. And during that time that we hang out with each other, we ought to bless one another. We ought to encourage one another, minister to one another. You know, we're physically here together, and we should, you know, take care of one another. And at other times during the week, when we're not in this room here meeting together, we can certainly ask God, is there someone I can bless? Is there someone I can pray for? Is there someone that I could do something for? Because we're all part of this wonderful one body. And so in dealing with personal issues, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then don't be afraid to reach out and ask someone to pray with you, pray for you, right? Our brothers and sisters. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. When I taught on prayer a couple of weeks ago, we did look at this, but I wanted to look at a couple of verses in 1 Peter 5. Just a little refresher. So personally, you know, we pray. And then we, you know, we're a family. We're brothers and sisters. We can have someone pray for us, pray with us for personal issues. And meanwhile, some of the things that we see and hear going on in our world today, that can bring mental pressure. And it, you know, it ought to be obvious that one of the objectives of our adversary is to divide people. And because of that, there are people living with fear. And a lot of people choose to just kind of hunker down. What's that phrase they use? Flying under the radar.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to be invisible. You know, from my point of view, this whole COVID experience, people got really used to being not being with people. They got used to it. And then now as we come out of it, you know, and we're now around people, we start hearing all of this crazy stuff, right? We hear hateful things and things that are very divisive and that promote hate and fear and division. And so, you know, the adversary would like to divide people, divide the people in this country, get people to be afraid as being labeled something. Oh, I don't want anybody to label me this. I don't want to be called that. Get us to be suspicious, you know, get us to hate each other. Just all of this commotion going on. And so some people withdraw. I choose to engage people, right? And engage people with love. You know, not with, I'm carrying my banner of this is what I believe. Just engage people with the love of God. And then if the door opens, to be able to speak the light, the truth of God's word. And it's the truth of God's word, the light of God's word that opens people's eyes. But we looked at here in 1 Peter chapter 5, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. It's a great analogy of the adversary. A lion's roar is loud. They say the lion's roar is 114 decibels, about the same amount of noise as a chainsaw. And the purpose of the roar is to instill fear. And I would say there's a lot of roaring going on in our world today, right? And so what does God's word say? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, in the right way of believing, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Resist steadfast in the right way of believing. And that's God's word. And so what does God's word say? Pray. Pray. Be anxious for nothing, but everything prayer and supplication, right? Pray. Cast your cares upon him. And so we're to be steadfast in the right way of believing and not allow what's being promoted in our culture, suspicion, division, all this stuff, not allow that to subtly carry over into the body of believers and cause separation or division in the body of Christ. And so that's really kind of what I wanted to share. And so after that brief introduction, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12. verse 25, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Isn't that beautiful? No division. And the same care one for another. And in these uncertain times that we live in, we need to conduct our lives according to what God's word says, right? And the bottom line is the love of God. We're to love one another. Have the same care one for another. And I believe now, more than ever, we believers need to love each other. And I would even go so far as to say love each other more. And not only because of the times that we're living in, but you and I never really know what somebody's going through, right? I mean, unless God would reveal it to you. Remember the Shunammite woman, and her son died, and then Elijah said something to Gehazi, and he said, well, the Lord has hid that from me. He didn't know yet.
Correct.
I mean, unless God reveals it, you don't know what's going on in someone else's life, right? So always, you know, in not just because we're going through some crazy times in our country, we need to love each other more. But as always, you never know what somebody is going through and they're dealing with. In Ephesians, we know what Ephesians says. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. I remember Dr. Werwell talking about love said, love has a great amount of elasticity to it. You know, when there's no love, it's all rigid. It's all rigid. You know, it's about this wide, half an inch, and I don't budge, period. That's not the love of God. Let's back up and look at verse 14. For the body's not one member, but many members. If the foot shall say, well, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, I'm not important, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, well, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it's pleased him. And if they were all one member, well, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. I'm just fine seeing everything. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I don't have any need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So we all belong to this great, wonderful one body. We're all important. And I think you may remember in Romans 12, it talks about doing whatever it is you do well, just do that and bless people with the talents, the abilities that God's given you or that God's called you to do, you know, to bless the body with whatever it is that you do better. Well, I'm not the eye. Fine. If everybody was the eyeball, there'd be no hearing, right? We just read that. So look at Romans 14, and we're going to read a section here in Romans 14, and I'm going to read this to you from Reverend Cummins' Working Translation. It's a wonderful section. verse 1 of Romans 14. Be accepting of him. Okay, got another teaching going on there. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Be accepting of him who is weak in the right way of believing, but not unto the discerning of disputes. One believes that he may eat all things, while another, who is weak, eats vegetables. These two verses kind of lay the foundation for this whole section, this illustration. I'm doing this, and you should do it too. I'm doing that, and you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that, because I'm... And then he goes on. Let him who eats all things let not him who eats all things despise him who does not eat all things. And let not him who does not eat all things judge him who eats all things, for God has accepted him. We just read that God has placed all of us in the body as it's pleased him. And we're getting all touchy about food. Who are you to judge another person's household servant? To his own Lord he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for his Lord is able to uphold him. We're in verse 5. One person distinguishes a certain day from other days, while another person considers every day to be the same. Let each person be fully persuaded in his own mind. He who considers the day distinguished from other days considers it so to the Lord, and he who does not consider the day distinguished considers it not so to the Lord. Likewise, he who eats all things to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who does not eat all things eats not all things to the Lord and gives thanks to God. Surely no one of us lives to himself, and no one of us dies to himself. In fact, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this reason, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord over both the dead and the living. So why do you judge your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? Certainly we shall all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's referring to the Bema, when we get rewards, as it talks about in Corinthians. In fact, it has been written, from Isaiah 45, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee will bow to me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account concerning himself. It's like it says in Corinthians, every man shall receive his own reward for his own labor. Let us therefore no longer judge one another, but rather judge this. Do not put a stumbling obstacle or a stumbling block before a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is common by itself except to him who considers something to be common. To that man, it is common. So if your brother is distressed because of your food, then you are no longer walking in love. Do not with your food destroy that one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be slandered. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Thus he who serves Christ in this manner is well-pleasing to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue the things pertaining to peace and the things pertaining to the edification of one another, building one another up. Do not for the sake of food dismantle the work of God. All foods are indeed clean. But evil for that person who eats with a stumbling block, but evil for that person who eats with a stumbling obstacle. It is good to not eat meat, nor to drink wine, nor to do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is caused to stumble, or is made weak. The believing that you have, well, have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not judge himself in what he approves. And he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let me go back to the working translation here. I went to the wrong column. Verse 23 of chapter 14. However, the doubting person has condemned himself when he eats because he does not eat from believing, and everything that is not from believing is sin. Verse 1 of chapter 15. Then we who are able ought to bear the weaknesses of those who are unable and not to please ourselves. Someone that's weak in that area, we lift them up. We don't judge them and condemn them. We love people. Let each of us please our neighbor for his good with a view to his edification. Likewise, Christ did not please himself, but as it's been written, this is from Psalm 69, the insults of those who insulted you fell upon me. Moreover, whatever was written previously was written for our teaching, so that through the patient endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God of the patient endurance and of the encouragement of the Scriptures grant you to think the same with one another, according to the standard, Christ Jesus, so that with unity of purpose and one mouth, you may bring glory to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, accept one another, even as the Christ, who also accepted you for the glory of God. Isn't that a great section? And he wrote a note about this. He said, this section contains certain practical matters relating to the relationships between those who were part of the church, but who may have had different kinds of thinking with regard to certain practical matters. Those who were able were to bear the weaknesses of those who were unable with a view to their edification. They were to be accepting of one another and not to set a stumbling block before a brother. It's really a great section. So God tells us to love one another. God tells us to edify one another, right? Build one another up. Not to put a stumbling block in front of my brother. Not to judge one another. Some people still wear masks. So what? Well, you let it bother you? You know? Some people think this. We're not talking about worshiping idols here, right? I mean, I didn't read, if your brother's worshiping an idol, get on your knees with him. Put your arm around him, say, I love you. We're not talking about that, right? We're supposed to have the same care one for another. Like-minded on what the Scriptures say, yes, absolutely. But so many other things, let it go. Love one another. We're not to be critical. We're not to be judgmental. Now, we're going to 1 Thessalonians. I've heard people say that the church at Thessalonica was the model church. Wonderful believers. And I was thinking about this the other day, that I know from Acts that when Paul first went to Thessalonica, he was there 3 weeks. I think it said 3 Sabbath days. Not a long time. When you compare that with Corinthians, Paul stayed with the Corinthians for at least a year and a half. And I'm not sure, I just haven't checked it, if Paul returned to Thessalonica, but the difference in the folk in Corinth, from what we read in the epistles, the difference between those folk and the folk in Thessalonica was a little different. You know, Paul wrote 2 stinging reproof epistles to the believers in Corinth, you know, to help them. I mean, that was to build them up, but it was some pretty strong reproof about a lot of different things. Carnality, division, all, you know, you're familiar with Corinthians. But this is the first epistle that Paul wrote shortly, wasn't that long after he had visited Thessalonica. We're not going to read the whole thing. It'd be not, if we had time, we'd read the whole thing. We're going to read a good portion, but it's amazing when you think of the 2 different places, Corinth and Thessalonica. And the people in Corinth had the Apostle Paul there for over a year and a half, personally. You know, I don't know about you, but I'd love to go to Paul's Fellowship. In a heartbeat. First one that God ever revealed the mystery to, the wonderful teaching of the Apostle Paul. And so both places had Paul teach them. And so chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus, that's Silas, and Timotheus, Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, the right way of believing, and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you were examples, look at this, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Wow, that's kind of nice. Don't you like to have Paul write a letter about you saying, well, you guys are examples to... Well, from you, verse 8, sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your believing to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Kind of bragging on him, isn't he? You don't read that in Corinthians. You guys, boy, you just believe and you love and you... Yeah. Corinthians is like, what is up? Isn't that beautiful? Boy, that's just wonderful. He bragged about their believing, their love, and the hope that they had. In chapter 2, verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. It wasn't utopia there in Thessalonica. They were going through stuff. We go through stuff. They went through stuff. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sin alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. He wanted to go back and be with them, but said Satan hindered us. So you know what? If you go to chapter 3, he sent Timothy there to find out how they were doing. In chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith, believing, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, mental pressure, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, your believing, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith, your believing and love. Good tidings of your believing and love, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your believing. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face, praying for them, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Look at this. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. He's telling them to abound, increase and abound in what? In love. But he's already bragged about the great love that they're already manifesting. And now he's saying, kick it up a notch. More. Love bigger. Oh my goodness. That's why I said now more than ever, we need today, in our day and time, brothers and sisters of the one body, we need to love each other more. Don't get caught up with petty things. Don't allow what's going on in our culture to creep into the one body. Love one another. Encourage one another. Build up one another. Chapter 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren. Oh, I love that. Toward all the brethren. You know what we read in Corinthians? We're to have the same care one for another. Not favorites. Well, I love him, but he's a pain in the butt. You do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Isn't that something? That Paul didn't say, you guys have it down. You are just loving everybody. That's fantastic. And they were. And he said, that's great. Now increase. Bring it up a notch. You think we need love? If these people were loving to this degree, and Paul said, or God told Paul what to write, so these are words to the church from God, increase in love. Love more. So did they do it? He wrote to them, said, do it. Did they? Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians, or 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your believing grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds. They were doing it. You know, they got that letter, and I bet they were blessed. You know, Paul said, oh, he wants us to love even bigger. Okay, time to kick it up a notch, brothers and sisters. Let's love each other more. And he went, you're doing it. And that's God's word. That's God's will for us to love. And you can't really love when you're harboring stuff. Don't let the stuff get in the way. Just love. Just love. Yeah, well, he doesn't deserve to be loved. He was a jackass towards me. Love. Just love. 2 Thessalonians, or the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and believing in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. It's like I said, it wasn't utopia in Thessalonica. There were no problems. Everyone had a perfectly renewed mind. Everybody was just floating on a cloud saying, love you, God bless you. Nobody had any personal problems or personal issues. It was, that's not what it says. In all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, they grew and abounded in love and believing. And they grew even with the stuff going on, and they endured it. In Philippians, where we started, back up just a bit to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 again, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we're facing mental pressure, whether it's personal issues or things that we're hearing about in the world, pray, pray, pray. We pray. We go to God in prayer. We pray. Because that's what God said to do, right? And then, as members of this wonderful one body, we reach out to our brothers and sisters. We don't hold back. We don't withdraw. We don't isolate. You know, that's what's being promoted. Fly under the radar. Keep your nose down. We don't buy into that, right? We reach out to each other with kindness, tenderness, forgiving one another, loving one another, having the same care one for another, looking to see how we can encourage and bless our brothers and sisters, build one another up, and always remembering, you never know what somebody's going through. Even if they smile. How's it going? Great. They may be going through something really not pleasant. You never know. Right? These days more than ever, God's people, the born again ones, need love, God's love, more than ever. And then for those that don't know God's word, you know what? They need love too. Sure. Sure they do. And for those people that don't know God's word, you don't know what's going on with them either. I was talking to somebody yesterday about, I don't know, some incident somebody went through, and we were talking about, you never know what somebody's going through. Somebody might just treat you horribly. You don't know what they're going through. So those that don't know God's word, they need to see people who are not living in fear, but people of conviction. And we're convinced of God's word, aren't we? We're convinced of the truth of God's word. That people need to see people that aren't living with fear, but people that have conviction and know the truth of God's great word. And so you and I, we're not afraid or ashamed to speak the truth of God's word wherever we go. But we speak it with what? Love. Love. So let's close in 1 Thessalonians again. We looked at this a few minutes ago. 1 Thessalonians 3. Verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another, and toward all, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Almighty God, our gracious heavenly Father, on this day we call Father's Day, but you are certainly our great God and Father every day. We're so thankful for the great love that you have for us, and that all we have, Father, is because, as your word says, you loved us first, and you so loved the world you gave your only begotten Son, and you have spread your love into our hearts. And the love that you have for us, Father, there's nothing that can interfere with that. Nothing can ever separate us from your love. May we be imitators of you, our wonderful Father, and love one another and love others. And Father, may you help us to continue to grow and to abound in love and believing of your wonderful word. And I, sir, thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning. And I ask you to bless those that are here and those on the phone line. And that, Father, we can have a wonderful week of believing your word and increasing in love. And I thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this teaching will be posted on the website a little bit later this afternoon, confidenceandjoy.com. Unless the Lord returns, which would be great. Unless the Lord returns, we'll be back here next Sunday. So I'm going to disconnect from the phone, folks. God bless you on the phone line. And for those of you that are here, we can hang out and love on each other a little bit. How would that be? All right. Well, God bless you all. I love you.